Dr. Michael Roizen.
Dr. Michael Roizen.
You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
You're listening to You, the Owner's Manual Radio Podcast on Radio MD, iHeart, or wherever you download us from. Thanks very much for doing so. We have a wonderful guest for you today. We also, I'm going to tell you about next week's guest as well, but I should remind you that all of our guests and all of our segments, it's now been more than 20 years, we are sponsored by Persona Nutrition. You can get your supplements personalized just to you by taking the free online assessment at mypersona.com. Mypersona.com. By the way, you'll want to see there's a great, if you have a problem sleeping, there's a great, social media post as well as website set with Kelly Ripa as how she cured her sleep problem using mypersona.com. Mypersona.com. You can take the free online assessment and get your recommendations, whether it's for sleep or anything else, or just for multivitamins at mypersona.com. There's no obligation. It's a free assessment. Today's guest is Emily Lipinski, who has written a book, Healing Your Thyroid Naturally. And when I sent out to our email list, and by the way, you can get on the email list, just send a information, your email to wenwei.com, wenwei.com. If you send it there, you can get on the list and find out who our guests are in advance so that we can ask them the questions that you're interested in. Well, when I sent it out, I got deluged by thyroid questions. And so I'm going to start out with three, which really are the summary of about seven of the questions, but they all revolved around, or at least five of them were on the same topic, so I'm going to ask that one first. Emily Lipinski is a naturopath and a doctor of naturopathic medicine is a graduate of the Canadian College in Toronto, Ontario. She practices, I don't know where she actually practices, but she's going to tell us it. The book is called Healing Your Thyroid Naturally, Dr. Emily Lipinski's Comprehensive Guide. It's a book by Hatchett Incorporated, or out of Hatchett, which is a major publishing house, so I assume it's at bnn.com and amazon.com, as well as you can find out more about her at and the book at Emily Lipinski, Lipinski .com, Emily Lipinski .com. Next week's guest I also want to talk about, Shaw Afradi, is going to talk to us about hyperbaric oxygen therapy for dementia and prevention of Alzheimer's. He has done groundbreaking work on this and has agreed to come on. He runs a large hyperbaric oxygen program for this in Israel as well as in at the villages in Florida and now in New York, and has just published really substantial work on its effect on stem cell replication and microvascular development. That's next week's guest, 1032B. But let's go with Emily Lipinski, and I'm going to start off with the most common question, which came from four women and one guy who said, I've been diagnosed with low thyroid function. Is there anything I can do other than take thyroid hormone replacement? And is there a food I can take? What caused this? What food should I avoid? What food can I take? So, Emily, let's start out with that question, if you will.
Sure. There's quite a few questions in that one question. It's a great question, and it's something I get asked in practice all the time. So the first point I kind of go to is, how severe is the diagnosis of the hypothyroidism? So typically, we run a marker of thyroid function called TSH, that's thyroid stimulating hormone, and that gives you a number. If the number is too high, you are diagnosed with hypothyroidism, especially if your T4 hormone is too low. But some people get diagnosed with hypothyroidism when their TSH is at 4. Some people get diagnosed with hypothyroidism when their TSH is at 10. It really is a little bit at the doctor's discretion of when they're deciding that they should medicate the patient. And usually it's in a combination with that TSH and the symptoms. So when I talk to patients about, is thyroid replacement necessary? Well, first, how bad is that TSH number? Is your TSH at 20? And your T4 really low, you might need the hormone replacement. But if you're just, you know, starting to become hypothyroidism, so maybe the TSH is at 4, 5, or 6, and the symptoms are mild, there could be other things that you could do to try and bring the thyroid back into balance naturally. The other really key important point here is that most of hypothyroid patients actually are suffering from an autoimmune disease. And that's the reason why, as you mentioned, that was one of the questions, why did this start? About 90% of people suffering from low thyroid function is due to an autoimmune attack on the thyroid gland. And most people have no idea that they're having this autoimmune issue. So I really urge people that have been diagnosed with hypothyroidism or have the symptoms of hypothyroidism, perhaps their TSH hasn't gone out of bounds yet, that they should have their antibodies checked. So those are your TGAB, your thyroglobulin antibody, and the TPOAB. So those are the thyroid peroxidase antibodies, the two key antibodies that seem to attack the thyroid gland. And those can be checked by a simple blood test from your healthcare provider. And that's a key part of if you need medication or you don't need medication, what can be done. So because if you do have those elevated antibodies, which most people do, you can do things naturally to reduce those antibodies. And of course, once the antibody attack is reduced in the thyroid gland can function better naturally. So whether you're on medication or not, or you need medication or not, I definitely urge you to look at those. And for the food, what can help the thyroid in terms of food and what foods to avoid, again, we kind of go back to that autoimmune issue. We want to choose a diet that is beneficial to reduce this autoimmune attack and work on the immune system. So big picture is avoiding inflammatory foods, packaged foods, the Western diet, junk food, and so forth, and focusing on more whole food diet, lots of anti-inflammatory foods, fish, lots of dark leafy green vegetables, root vegetables, anti-inflammatory fats and oils like olive oil, extra virgin olive oil. And there's something really interesting in this piece with food is because most people, when they think of thyroid gland, they think of iodine, because iodine is a key nutrient to support the thyroid function. And typically, common thought or old school thought was if you have a low functioning thyroid gland, you should give more iodine. The caveat here is that if you do have the autoimmune issue and your antibodies are very high, it's wise to avoid iodine for a time period where you lower the antibodies because too much iodine could increase the antibodies and increase the attack on the thyroid. And for some people, it may make them feel worse. Does that answer most of those questions in there?
Yes and no. So let's go in and break it down. It's obviously a very thorough answer, but I need probably more help for it. So since they probably do have a autoimmune disease, what should they be eating to decrease that? Is that the same thing of a plant-based diet? And these are people who say, when they gave me their numbers, they actually sent in some of their TSH and T4 numbers, not their antibody numbers, but they were minor league, what you would call, they were essentially increased TSH outside the normal range, and T4 barely in or in the normal range at the lower levels. So what would they do? Is there something they could eat? Is there something they can do to decrease antibody levels? Do they demand their doctor get antibody levels? Why is that so important? In other words, what's the difference if they don't have antibodies? What do they do versus what do they do if they do?
So if you don't have, if you have no elevations in your antibodies, then I recommend using foods high in iodine, because the iodine is going to stimulate the thyroid gland and can help bring that TSH down and improve T4 function. The thyroid gland needs iodine to make T4 and T3 hormones. But if your antibodies are positive, and especially if they're well within, outside the normal range, so you know, I almost always check the TPO antibody, and that antibody should be under 35. Well, if someone's in the, you know, 400s or 500s, I'm going to restrict iodine in the diet, because in those individuals, using iodine, although it may stimulate the thyroid gland, it also may increase the antibody attack on the thyroid gland, and it may make the patient feel worse, and it could also increase the antibodies further. So that's a really important point. If you don't know your antibody levels, and you don't get those checked, or your doctor refuses to check them, then using something called black seed oil, this is Nigella sativa, the seeds of Nigella sativa, oil of them, this has actually been shown to reduce antibody levels and may also be helpful for the thyroid gland. We haven't seen any big side effects using black seed oil, and you know, you can put it on top of salads. People choose to take a teaspoon or two a day. And the only side effect that I've really seen in practice thus far is a little bit of gastrointestinal upset. Have you heard of this black seed oil before?
Would avocado oil do the same thing, or walnut oil? Is it the omega-3 in the oil that we think is the effective part of it?
No, it's a different constituent of the oil. So the omega-3 fatty acids from fish oil, or definitely avocado oil, those are beneficial on an anti-inflammatory effect as well. The black seed oil, we don't know why, but it seems to have a more potent effect at significantly dropping the antibodies quite quickly in about 3 to 6 months, where we haven't seen that same effect with walnut oil or avocado oil. But certainly from looking at a whole food diet and focusing on the anti-inflammatory side, we want to incorporate those oils like avocado oil, walnut, possibly coconut oil, and avoid things like corn oil, canola oil, margarines, vegetable oils. Otherwise, normally I limit or take out completely.
Let's go to another question that was asked, and we should say that we are talking with Emily Lipinski, the author of Healing Your Thyroid Naturally, Dr. Emily Lipinski's Comprehensive Guide. Dr. Lipinski, and by the way, the website is emilylipinski.com. The second question was one on the converse, that is, I developed hyperthyroidism in my last trimester of pregnancy and gutted it out. Now I'm 2 years post-pregnant and I want to conceive again. Will I have hyperthyroidism again? What causes it during pregnancy? And should I get treated, or should I eat a specific set of foods or something else before I get pregnant?
Now, did she say she took out the thyroid completely or partially?
No. She said what she said is gutted it out. I assume that means she did not have an operation or even anything for her thyroid. She's worried. Well, it went away apparently. And now she's worried. She wants to get pregnant again. Will this occur again?
Okay. Yes.
And if so, what should she do?
So, you know, hyperthyroidism, again, the most common reason for hyperthyroidism is Graves' disease, and that is also an autoimmune condition. So again, it's taking those same points of, you know, from a diet, first and foremost, is avoiding all those inflammatory oils, fats, junk food, refined food, sugars, and focusing on, you know, lots of dark leafy green vegetables, root vegetables, fish, meats, ideally organic. So really focusing on that whole foods diet.
The third question was someone who is trying to lose weight and whose doctor has said they hit a plateau, and whose doctor said you may have a thyroid problem of not being able to produce normal thyroid hormones. You may be producing reverse thyroid hormones. I'd like to give you some thyroid, some Abbott thyroid. And they said they would rather have medication than Abbott, if you will, something from an animal. Should they be taking this? What is reverse T? I think they said reverse T3.
Yes. So the thyroid gland puts out two main hormones, T3 and T4, but it primarily puts out T4. It puts out T4 in about 90% capacity. And the body needs to convert that T4 to T3 hormone. And the T3 hormone is what is responsible for the metabolism, keeping your bowels moving properly, keeping your body temperature up. It's really the active form of the hormone. And some people, instead of when they take that T4 and they convert it into the T3, they convert it into something called a stereoisomer. So actually the mirror image of the T3 hormone, which is called reverse T3, and the body cannot use it to keep the metabolism up and to keep all those important bodily functions going. So that often happens when one of a few things are in place. I see it most commonly in practice because the person's under a great deal of stress. Another reason it can happen is when a person puts themselves into a fasting. I see it in intermittent fasting or in people that do ketosis. Or when there's another chronic issue at play in the body that the person may know or the person may be unaware of. So it's really important that the person, though, does get that T3 hormone, whether they take it in animal form. They can also take it in synthetic form. It's sold as Cytomel, so it's the synthetic form of T3. There's another thing I normally try with patients is trying to get them naturally to convert the T4 to the T3. There's two nutrients, zinc and selenium, have both been shown in clinical trials to help the body convert that T4 into T3 better. And also reducing stress if that's an issue, or talking to the patient, are they going through fasting periods or doing ketosis? Maybe doing a diet that doesn't involve fasting or stopping ketosis to see if the person can start producing a little bit more T3 on their own. That said, if the person
can
go ahead.
Can you measure the abnormal T3?
You can. In blood work, you can see the normal T3 and the reverse T3. So normally I find within about 4 to 6 weeks, we retest the T3 and the reverse T3 and see if they're starting to make a little bit more normal T3 on their own.
We've been talking with Dr. Emily Lipinski. Emily, as you can tell, has a great deal of knowledge about thyroid disease. Our audience clearly did not stump her on any of these questions about thyroid hormone, and you would expect they wouldn't. She's written a wonderful book called Healing Your Thyroid Naturally. Dr. Emily Lipinski, who's a naturopath, Dr. Emily Lipinski's comprehensive guide. It is Emily Lipinski, LIPINSKI.com is the website to get the book. Thank you very much, Emily. And remember, we are sponsored, all of our guest segments are sponsored by Persona Nutrition. You can get your supplements personalized to you from Persona Nutrition. You can take the free online assessment. It's actually quite a bit of fun at mypersona.com. That's mypersona.com. You'll want to, in addition to telling your friends about this segment and how good it was, you'll want to also download next week's segment, 1032B. It's a continuation of our longevity series. Dr. Shah Afradi from Israel is going to talk to us about his latest data on hyperbaric oxygen. It's really not just hyperbaric oxygen. It's on the varying levels of how that sequence of raising and lowering the oxygen level to abnormally high or to increased levels and then bring it back to normal levels is so important in both generating new microvasculature as well as increasing the telomere length on stem cells. At least that's what the paper he has just published in Aging shows. Hopefully, we'll find out more when we talk to him next week. That's 1032B. And the first of the segments on longevity, the larger segment that we did, the whole program, 1020 A and B, were on longevity. Thanks, Caitlin, for great engineering, but especially thank you, our audience, for downloading us, telling your friends about us, rating us. Thanks very much. It's what motivates us to give you the A segments, the latest news of the week, and what it means to you, and the B segments, these wonderful guests like Emily Lipinski with incredible knowledge on the specific area of thyroid function and how much you can alter it by your habits and natural habits as well. Thanks again.